Hot Storm Caroline on the way, apparently. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart always be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. It can be fascinating to learn how people we know came to be Christians. Of course, we all have different stories and experiences. Some of us grew up in the church, others, like me, did not. In my own case, I grew up on the fringes of the church with some Sunday school experience, but then drifted away as I got older. And one of my earliest memories of the church nonetheless stayed with me forever. I can still remember quite vividly how almost 70 years ago the seeds of Christian kindness was shown at a Sunday school when I was at infant school, and that witness and that kindness stayed with me until I came to personal faith in my 30s, when Caroline and I both came to full personal faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour, in the fourth year of our marriage, actually, when we both found a love that we had never known. And of course, my story underlines just how fundamentally important children's work is and teaching in general, and the wonderful influence that good teachers can have on the lives of children forever. When we really know Jesus Christ as our Saviour and Lord, we know that there is a vast difference between knowing about Christ and knowing Jesus Christ personally. If you grew up in a Christian home, you knew about Christ, but that didn't necessarily change your life. But coming to know Jesus Christ personally does change you. And your desires and focus for life change. And as Paul puts it in our first reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things pass away. Behold, new things have come. And this morning we're focusing on the story in John chapter 1 from verse 35 on, which you can find on page 1064 if you want to follow it in the Bibles. Perhaps more than any other place in the Bible, this passage illustrates how people come to Christ by personal recommendation of a person they know and respect. And John shares an intimate encounter that probably took place at the River Jordan, where Jesus had just been baptized and proclaimed as the Lamb of God. And it's a story of five men who met Jesus at the start of his ministry, as told by one of the men, the Apostle John. And the first-hand nature of the account is seen in his mention of the successive days of these events, as we see in verses 29, 35, 43. And the time of day when he met Jesus, verse 39, the 10th hour, probably about 4 p.m. All of these men met Jesus personally and began to follow him. Eventually, he called them to be his apostles. But here they meet him and he invites them to follow him as disciples or learners. There's far more about Jesus than we can ever know. Jesus is proclaimed as the Lamb of God. Verse 36, the teacher. 38 and verses 38 and 49, the Messiah, verse 41, and the authoritative Lord who changes people for his sovereign purposes, verse 42. He is one of whom the Old Testament speaks, as a man Jesus is of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. He's the omniscient one who knows each person. He's the Son of God and the King of Israel. And he is the only bridge between heaven and earth, the dwelling place of God with us. He is the coming Son of Man. This bears repeating because seeing the wonderful person of the Lord Jesus Christ draws us to him. As we see more of who he is, we are changed into his likeness. When you meet a new friend, you begin with an introduction, and then you spend time over the years getting better acquainted. So it is with Jesus, except that the years will continue throughout eternity. And the question for us, for you and for me, is are we spending consistent time alone with Jesus now, getting to know him through his word, so that he might dwell in our hearts through faith? Relationships, of course, do take time and effort. We begin with Jesus by trusting him as the Lamb of God who takes away our sin. Andrew and John were already disciples of John the Baptist, who was preaching a message of repentance and baptism for the forgiveness of sins. Although they had grown up in good Jewish homes and had practiced all the prescribed rituals and sacrifices, these two young men came under the conviction of the Holy Spirit that they were sinners. They knew that their religious activities and heritage could not atone for their sins, and so they were baptized by John. But John kept speaking of the one who was coming after him, the thong of whose sandals he was not worthy to untie. John denied being the Messiah, but said that he was merely a voice crying in the wilderness, "Make straight the way for the Lord," as we read in verse 23. When John saw Jesus and proclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God," that was all that Andrew and John needed to say, "We're going to follow the Lamb. We need him to be our Lamb, to take away our sins." Becoming a Christian means that we become aware that we are sinners in the sight of God, and that all of the good works we do can never atone for all our sins. We can never work our way to heaven by our good deeds. We do need a Saviour, and Jesus is that Saviour, the Lamb of God, whose death on the cross was the culmination of the entire Jewish sacrificial system. God didn't sacrifice his own dear son as an example so that basically good people could learn how to be even better. God gave his son to save sinners who cannot in any way save themselves. When Andrew and John began to follow after Jesus, he turned and saw them and said, verse 38, "What do you want?" This is the same Jesus who a few verses later tells Nathanael that he knew his character and his actions before he ever met him. Jesus didn't ask Andrew and John what they were seeking because he lacked knowledge or information about them. Rather, he asked them the question so that they would have to think about it. "What are you seeking by following me? Do you want status and power by being on the inside circle when I come into my kingdom? Do you want me to give you a comfortable life with plenty of material benefits, free from pain and sorrow? Do you want me to forgive your sins and give you inner peace? What do you want? He asked us, you and me, the same question. Andrew and John answer in verse 38, Rabbi, what are you saying? Where are you staying? Where are you staying? Verse 38. It seems like an odd reply to Jesus' question. They probably wanted more time with him than a roadside talk would provide. And this applies to us as well. A mere passing look from a distance at Jesus is unlikely to allow him suddenly, is likely to allow him suddenly to disappear from our sight. And all that we have learned concerning him will pass away. If we have met Jesus Christ as our Saviour, then we'll want to spend more time with him to learn more about him. It was only after Andrew and John spent that evening with the Lord that they became witnesses to the others. And look at verse 39. Jesus' reply is always his invitation to all seeking hearts. Come and you will see. Come and you will see. And that's what he says to us this morning. Jesus invites us to come to him. In Matthew 11, he says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you've met him as Saviour, his invitation to you each morning is, come and have breakfast with me. Each morning we can find nourishment for our souls in Jesus. Jesus begins with us where we are, but he changes us into what he wants us to be. After their evening with Jesus, Andrew immediately found his brother Simon and said to him, verse 41, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. We may wonder how the disciples knew at this early stage that Jesus was the promised Messiah. The answer is probably that the disciples, like many in that day, were looking for the Messiah as a conquering king whose rule would usher in a golden age for Israel. But the disciples had to learn that he was the suffering servant of Isaiah 53 before he would return as the king over the nations. But Jesus took Andrew and John and Peter where they were at that time and began immediately to mold them into what he wanted them to be. Jesus' opening words to Peter must have been a bit jarring. Verse 42, you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated Peter. How would you feel if the first words out of the mouth of someone you just met were to change your name? Peter may have thought, I need to run for cover. But there was something so remarkable, so captivating about Jesus that Peter submitted to Jesus' agenda for his whole life. Cephas is the Aramaic word for rock. Petros, Peter, is the Greek word for rock. Jesus seems to be prophesying to Peter of his future as the rock, the foundation by his faith of the new Christian movement. And later when Peter confesses Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said, and I tell you, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Jesus has that kind of sovereignty and power. He begins with us right where we are, but he changes us into what he wants us to be. If I were Jesus and knew what he knew about Peter, I might have said, "Nice to meet you, Simon," and left it at that. But Jesus knew beforehand that Peter would fail him miserably. But he also knew that he would change Peter into the bold apostle who preached on the day of Pentecost when 3,000 people were saved. In the same way, Jesus knows all about you and me and our future before we ever meet him. He graciously begins with us in our immaturity and selfish reasons for following him, but he gradually begins to teach us that following him means denying ourselves and taking up our cross. And we mature with Jesus as he reveals truth to us about ourselves and about him. Nathanael's initial responses to Philip's statement that Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah was not entirely enthusiastic. Verse 46, "Can any good come out of there?" But Philip convinced him with a simple reply, "Come and see." Jesus immediately let Nathanael know that he knew him inside and out, and he knew that Nathanael was a man without guile or deceit. He told it like he saw it. Jesus' words to Nathanael are a play on Jacob's name and character. Jacob was a deceiver whose name was changed to Israel. Jesus apparently knew that Nathanael had been sitting under a fig tree meditating on Jacob's dream of the ladder coming down out of heaven. So he said to him in verse 50, "You believe because I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than these." Nathanael is the first man in John's Gospel who is said to believe in Jesus, and he is the first to receive a promise from Jesus. His testimony teaches us that we are degrees of growth, that there are degrees of growth in coming to Jesus and coming to know him. He needed to meet Jesus in person, and that meeting brought him to believe in Jesus as the Son of God and the King of Israel. But Jesus would reveal still more to Nathanael in the future. Jesus is far greater than any of us realize when we first came to believe in him. So the Christian life is a wonderful relationship in which we come to know Jesus in a deeper and deeper way. Each of the five men had different personalities and gifts. The Lord would use each of them in different ways. They met Jesus and he changed their lives drastically for time and the whole of eternity. And I love Jesus' answer, "Come and see." He doesn't give them an address or make an appointment. He invites them to come along with him and walk with him. And that's what he invites each of us to do or continue to do this morning. And so to conclude, whatever your personality or background, if you will come to know Jesus personally as your Savior and follow him as Lord, he will use your life for his eternal purpose. He doesn't answer all your questions, but he invites you to journey along with him, following him, and in the process, learning from him. That's the essence of what it means to be a disciple. So let's pray. Father, thank you for the examples of people becoming disciples. Help me to spend more time with you so that I might become a better disciple. Show me how and make me willing to point my friends to Jesus. Open me to the gifts of your Spirit so that I might be more effective in your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.